Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the 5 seconds of silence that Ben wants. I was quite enjoying the silence.
Me too.
We have to give people a bit of background about what's going on.
Go for it.
Obviously, you brought full of beans to this. I meant that nicely.
You don't need my beans. You've got enough beans of your own.
So we're in Devon for half term.
We're at Devon.
I said in Devon.
We're in
I said
Devon.
In Devon.
I said at Devon.
No, I said we're in Devon for half term, and we're in Dittisham, so we're sort of miles away from anything, and. We have to do the podcast or we don't get paid. So here we are, and we brought two microphones down, but neither of them connects to our laptops. So we brought two connecting cables down, but except one of them we didn't bring. So we only have one microphone.
And no internet.
But it turns out we also have no internet. Well, we meant to have internet, but... we're in Devon. So we haven't got any internet. They're rolling it out as fast as they can, and they've got as far as Exeter. But they haven't got down here. It works sometimes, but it's not good enough to do the podcast.
It's called Faster Shire, not Faster Devon.
Faster Shire, Devon Shire. Faster. No, the point is the Wi-Fi is okay in the room where we've put three televisions. No, three children.
One television.
Two children of our own and one children belonging to some friends are in the other room watching Spider-Man
Homecoming.
Far From Home.
Far From Home.
And that our whole plan was they'd quietly be in there eating a local sausage roll. While we recorded our podcast, while Ben listened and edited it from London. But we can't now go in there because they're watching Spider-Man. Ben can't listen in because we couldn't broadcast this, so we're recording it, probably.
Possibly. As mentioned, Giles, we are in a cottage. Not our cottage, we have rented the cottage.
We have.
And it brought back quite a lot of memories of all the places we have rented.
This is an idea for a column.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not
based
sure.
On...
based on the notes...
In this lovely, amazing cottage, this amazing place, that there's lovely notes that have been left for us about, which they always do, saying things like, you will find the keys in the box by the door, and I noticed that with these ones...
They're very, very extensive
There
notes.
Are 20 pages of notes. Yeah. I forgot to bring any holiday reading, but luckily, all the notes for how to operate the broadband. And can I just say, by the way, I'm not criticising the Wi-Fi, it's fine, we just have to be in the other room. And it's got lovely, thick stone walls. The thing is that we've arrived here and we've got these extensive notes of things that we can do. And I think what we're trying to do is talk to Times readers and Times audio listeners who will have been away at half time and sorry, at half term, and they'll have had their funny notes and they've all walked in and they've looked at their notes and our ones are great. And I have some things like we were quite surprised to see, like strip the beds. And we had, do you remember we had strip the beds in the last one we were in?
Strip the beds, I know that you were quite surprised about strip the beds, but I think most places, particularly post coronavirus, do want you to strip the beds. We particularly. In our rental house, we don't say, please strip the beds, because I hate being told to strip the beds.
Yes, but why don't we tell people to strip the beds? Because we pay someone to come and strip the beds. But the people who are renting us this cottage and so many others want us to strip the beds.
Yeah.
They also, I know, want us to run the dishwasher and unload it back into the cupboard ready for the next guest.
Yeah. Whereas, I think that's kind of it's more of a list of wishes sometimes, notes, than actual instructions.
Do you think that's what it is? They've also said, you know, in this amazing cottage, which I love and I definitely will come back to if they let us, don't take all food with you. So we arrive here, we bring a bit of food, but we came on the train. So we bought some Weetabix and some biscuits and sugar and dip. Take it all with you. I can't take an open kilo of sugar back on the train.
I said in my notes for the barn, please take all food with you. But that's because most people come to the barn in their car. So they can absolutely...
Well, most people come here in their car.
Well, we're kind of crazy.
We got the train to Tartness, picked up a hire car, and drove the rest of the way.
What I'm saying...
Putting money in the local economy.
What I'm saying to you is that although I wonder if you can do it, it's a very, very easy...
Fantasy notes. Very funny.
Fantasy notes.
The difference of opinion you and I have is I think it requires an intro in which we say we rented a cottage in Devon and the notes were quite funny.
Yeah.
I felt they were a little bit... By the way, that creaking is the kitchen table. Yeah. And compared to all other places in this entire county, this is quiet. It's not me and Esther in bed.
No, it's the kitchen table.
Little bit of squeaky squeak.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I think it has to have an intro which says, if I do this column for Saturday about the comedy of renting for half term,
yeah.
You walk in and the first thing that happens is that the key doesn't work in the door. And then what happens is that the notes will probably say, the key won't work in October. When the weather turns cold, the key expands and you can't even go through the back door. Now, the key to the back door are underneath the mat, which you can only lift up if the cow isn't standing on it.
Exactly. If the key doesn't work in a lock because it is too cold or possibly too hot or potentially too wet or there's too much salt in the air or if there's an R in the name of the month, then you'll have to go to... The Hanging Man pub.
The pub down the road. Open only from August the 1st to August the 3rd in the mornings.
And
shout very loudly.
Because Jim is a bit deaf. But if he hears you, he's got a spare set of keys, we think.
Okay, there's one here, Victorians overruled by the Georgians. It is their elegance and beauty, according to one historian. Perhaps we're just sick of hearing about the Victorians, says another. Or maybe it's just because we can see the roots of our own gossipy social media culture there, says a third. Whatever it is, the historians have concluded that the Georgians are now beating the Victorians. Blah, blah, Clifton Literary Festival. The Georgian era is now the most exciting. We're bored with the Victorians.
This is just the fault of Bridgerton, isn't it? I say the fault, sorry. I've got nothing against Bridgerton.
Clifton is Georgian, is it?
Clifton? Let's think.
Sorry, did I say Clifton? No, Bridgerton. Bridgerton is Georgian.
Bridgerton,
so
yeah,
the
Bridgerton
point
is Georgian,
is yeah. Andrew Roberts says that the ugliness of modern life, we want to, because of the ugliness of modern life, we don't want to look at the Victorians anymore, we want to look at the Georgians. And I think we're talking about, we've had so many Victorian period dramas and some Victorian and Edwardian. It's like the Victorians are finished, the Georgians win. But so what we should look ahead in a column to the next big era. Who's exciting? Who are we going to go after the Georgians? We go a little bit further back. The English Civil War. Is that interesting?
Oh, I love the English Civil War.
Do
yeah.
you? What about it?
Well, it's a bit like the Great Fire of London in that it's such a good story. It's just a great story.
The Great Fire of London isn't a good...
The Great Fire of London is the best first history topic for any child.
So why is there not, or should we write, fire! Exclamation mark. A 12-parter on Netflix set in the Great Fire of London.
Yes, you
who
can
started
do.
It? Who ended it? People get rescued.
No, it should be an 8-parter because it went on for 8 days. Or was it 6 days? Or was it 3 days? Anyway.
Well, we'll get a historical consultant, shall we? Sam would do. We'd probably start with the plague. It's fucking good. So, and that's 1666. Does that even have a name? I mean, there's the interregnum is 1640 to 1660. I guess it's the restoration.
They cut Charles II's head off at 1649, and then there was the Civil War, and then they brought back Charles II.
Did they leave it that late to cut his head off?
1649 is when they cut his head off.
But the same year as the Battle of Naseby.
Yeah, a couple of months
I guess you're the one who loves the English Civil War, so you probably know. Yeah. But by 1660, they put back Charles XIV or whatever. So
Charles II.
And that was the restoration. It's like, where could we set things? There's no more room left, basically, in the Victorian period. Probably not in the Georgian.
So you can set things any time.
I quite like the idea of a Great Plague / Fire of London.
Great Fire of London. The brilliant thing about
the
Great Fire of
London. He buried Parmesan cheese in the garden.
Who did?
Samuel Pepys.
One of the great things about the Great Fire of London is that it's got absolutely everything. It's got drama. It's not too sad because I think only one or two people died, and they were maybe bit old.
It was only a maid. It was a maid. Somebody's maid died.
And then there was a conspiracy theory.
And it could be sourdough. It's really because it was a bread oven that started it. So they could be making sourdough. The hipsters would like it.
The hipsters would love it because it's an involvement of kind of hand-raised pies and sourdough. There's also there's a kind of civil unrest element because they all scarpered to Hampstead Heath to watch the city burn.
Then
they thought it was the invasion of the Dutch or the French started the fire.
Do you know the two problems? Two of the main problems? One is people don't look sexy in those Samuel Pepys type wigs. And also the housing stock, famously, isn't there because it burnt down in the fire. So
They'll have to film it on one street in Oxford. One street in Oxford that's still got those overhanging upper things. So if you move it to the Civil War is just conducted in up oak trees, on big fields, and in pubs. So,
well, no, the pubs are all called the Royal Oak, and they're named after the tree.
Is that how it is?
I think that's what it is. So, look, if you go further back, you get to the Tudors. Done. Can't have the Tudors back before the Tudors. So you're getting into Richard III territory. That's the Plantagenets, the 100 Years'
1066.
War.
1066. Yes, we should do that. We should have you set a drama. Okay, here we go. You set a drama. 1066, so all the French people have come to England, and you could do a wonderful kind of culture clash thing about the French in England and how people are snobby about words like mirror and perfume.
That would be quite fun, and it could have a good immigration thing because they all come over in boats, just like immigrants now.
Exactly.
Except these boats are armed with weapons, and as Sam will tell you, when they arrived, the Duke of Normandy, William the Conqueror, he burned all his own boats so that the soldiers couldn't go home. So they had to fight the English, and they won. So we could do that because before that, it's all Viking and Anglo-Saxon and Last Kingdom.
They've done the Vikings.
So the only eras left that aren't completely boring and plumb is our
Civil War.
Yeah, the little bit of 1066, and of course the Stone Age.
Yep, Stone Age.
Literally, there's literally been nothing.
The Croods. You're wrong.
There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I mean, look, do we think, we talked about this, darling, it's no joke, school offers laughter lessons.
Right.
People are receiving laughter therapy to combat post-COVID gloom. The 15,000, I mean, this is a big story. I don't know whether columns have been done, but I mean, this was on the front of the newspapers and stuff. According to a report from the Royal College of Psychiatrists, almost 200,000 young people have been referred to mental health services in the past 3 months. We're not joking about mental health. Mental health is serious. We're all fucking mad in this house. That's perfectly fine. Research shows that laughter can reduce cortisol levels. And Emma Jennings, who runs a therapy, a laugh therapy classes. Children have been isolated. No amount of Zoom content makes up for that. Her lessons begin with children being instructed to laugh in the style of a James Bond villain. The laughter will be false, of course, but the body cannot tell the difference, she says. It's about bypassing the cognitive part of the brain. The body is benefiting from the fake laughter, which often turns into genuine laughter. So can we try James Bond villain laughter?
No, that's more like a... James Bond villains normally don't really laugh. They're quite sinister. That's more like a laughter of like...
Can you do a laugh, please?
I don't want to.
Do a laugh. So this podcast is about doing an emergency laugh. If you start laughing, you could be... Come do some laughing. You know what? That was a genuine laugh. Do a fake laugh. Come on.
I don't
on.
Want to.
Do a fake
can
laugh.
Can I describe how this actually... It does work. You're laughing at it, but it does actually... I did a thing called laughing yoga or laughter yoga.
What?
Which I know is really, really, really,
did you
really
dress up
good.
In spandex and spread your legs and then laugh?
No, I didn't. I went... So laughter yoga, which is very much based on this. What you have to do is you stand in a circle and you do these absurd things. Like you have to run around the room clapping and going, ha 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 ha, ta 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 ta, and it's really, really embarrassing. And I was with about sort of 15 other
Why
women.
Did you do this?
I did it as part of the, I was invited to a kind of sleepover party thing with the middle, your friend Emma Meekin and both of our friends. Annabelle Ripkin. And your friend, Annabelle Ripkin, too. And
they kind of Annabelle Ripkin.
Very grand. A kind of sleepover thing. And what part of the sleepover kind of dinner party thing was laughter yoga, which was kind of like my nightmare. Making silly faces.
Doing a fake laugh. You won't even do it in its kitchen.
Doing
in
a fake laugh.
Do a fake laugh.
I don't want to.
Just do a little one.
No, I don't want to do a fake laugh. Your fake laughs are very good. I don't want to do a fake laugh.
Just for the sake of your listeners.
No.
Who love you.
No.
You're trying to make life easier
for
them.
No, I have
They've got mental health issues and they need to hear laughter.
I have got very, very good boundaries. I'm always being told. And that means I don't do things I don't want to do. And I don't want to do a fake laugh. But I am going to tell you about laughter yoga and about how it actually works. So you have to, you sort of tit about for about 20 minutes doing this ridiculous kind of clapping and high and hing, and then you hop on one leg and stuff. And it's completely, completely, totally humiliating in every possible regard. And it made me quite sort of angry about 15 minutes in. And I thought, I'm just going to walk out. I can't bear this for a second longer. And then the lady said, now everyone take your yoga mat and lie down. And everyone with our heads kind of touching in a circle, not touching because of nits, but our heads kind of in a circle. We all had our heads together and we were kind of in a kind of starburst shape. And then we lay down and we had to do some breathing exercise. And then someone started laughing. And someone started really laughing. And then we all started laughing. And I have never, ever, ever, I've only laughed harder at a couple of things that you've said over the years.
But you brought that back. You're about to say you've never laughed harder. It's like...
No, there were a couple of things that you've done to make me laugh.
Like what?
It's a bit hard, it doesn't really work on radio. It's a face that you made about the 10 years old.
for the record, I just made a face, but at least you laughed.
The 10 years later challenge on Instagram is the... And then a couple of jokes that don't...
If you go to my Instagram and go scroll back about 2 years...
Everyone was doing... What they look like now, what they look like 10 years ago, and like everyone,
and it was a humble brag.
It was a horrible, gross humble brag on Instagram, going, "Oh my god, oh Diana, you look exactly, you're looking
I've just found
now.
This picture of myself from 10 years ago,
yeah.
And they're all looking amazing compared
now.
To
now, or they look better, or they look amazing, they're superstar amazing.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And then Giles did one where Giles was actually a very hot teenager, and then a picture of himself with a towel over his head, making this really, really disgusting face that just makes me laugh. I don't even know what I think about it. I just start laughing. Anyway, what I'm saying is that it sounds stupid and everyone's taking the piss out of these laughter lessons, but they work. They 100% work. I wouldn't be laughing if I was a teenager either.
Rosie McCall, the head teacher, said, young girls have a lot on their plates. We thought it would be great to introduce a purely fun class which they can walk away from having physically felt a drop in stress levels. So
I
mean, is that a comment?
I know, of course not.
Why not?
Oh, yes, you wanted to know why there are no young male novelists.
I quite fancy that as an actual column.
Okay,
young male novelists left on the shelf. So there's been a significant shift in the past 20 years. Last year, female authors wrote 50% of hardback fiction bestsellers, compared with only 39% in 2000. I think that we know from either writing or trying to write books that the whole of publishing is female.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of them. Every echelon, all our, every book I've ever written was for female editors.
Except for the publishing house CEO. The person in charge of the whole thing is 98% like.
Well, someone has to count up the money at the end and pay people and stuff.
But
the rest of them are girls, and so then they all want to sort of bring women through, and it means that weirdly that you get the way you get men is you get the same old big dogs, Salman Rushdie, Ian McEwan, Martin
Lee Ames, Child,
writing about the same thing, and then admittedly the really massive sellers, apart from J.K. Rowling, whatever. But you know, Richard Alderman is just all over everything.
Yeah, but what he's doing is he's cashing in on his very captive tea time audience.
Who are all old men?
Yeah, if he was starting,
so books are bought by either old people or women. Huh? So the books are bought by either old people or women.
Or in the case of Richard Osman, old people who are also women.
Yes, or there's Walliams, you know, all the
that kids are different, and it's a different market completely.
But the massive hysteria around a very ordinary writer like Sally Rooney, for example.
I don't know. I think, what does Elizabeth Strout say? She says,
said these women are good at their job, but do I think it's a good thing? So the American writer Elizabeth Strout said that the publishing industry needed to mix it up to ensure that male novelists were getting equal opportunities. Okay, these women, because this is part of the culture war thing where there's been an overcorrection, would be the suggestion,
here. Right.
Those women are good at their job, says Elizabeth Strout, but do I think it's a good thing? I think it makes it too narrow. I mean, if it was all male-dominated, that would be a bad thing, and if it's all female-dominated, then that's just as bad.
If you were going to write fiction now, what would put you off? I mean, you're an old woman.
Yeah. I'm now past the point in my career where writing a book is a valid use of time.
Apart from for fun, for vanity, because you haven't got anything else to do.
Well, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was telling my own story. I used to want to be a novelist more than anything when I was young, because I wanted to be rich and powerful and important.
Yeah.
Really. And in my... And admired and envied. And in my life, and in my world, I looked at who was that? That's Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, Evelyn Waugh, those kind of lives, those kind of people. Huge. Remembered forever. I mean, ridiculous to want that. But I wanted those things. Gradually, I tried to be a novelist and I tried to be a writer and I was just hacking away being a journalist. And I realised, well, I am a sort of writer. I'm a journalist. And I managed to get a novel out there and I got 25,000 quid, which was worth it when I was 28, but wouldn't be much use to me now. And I realised that, in fact, you don't get rich and powerful and famous being a writer, really. If you're already rich and powerful and famous, like Richard Osman, you can get a novel published.
Yeah.
But you don't. There isn't really any. No one respects novelists. Everyone laughs at them. We take the piss out of them in podcasts. Men are driven by a desire for power and influence.
Yeah.
And that's no longer a thing you can get through fiction. But women are perhaps motivated by genuinely creative things. Women particularly like Sally Rooney, who doesn't want to be famous and always says so. Perhaps women do not just crave power and influence and agency and just want to be, you know, novelists, as we know from the recently dead Philip Roth, whose biography I just read, he was either writing or fucking. They're the only things he did. And now that doesn't work. Mm. It doesn't make you rich at writing, unless you're a very small number of people. It doesn't make you powerful. It doesn't make you influential. No one cares what Ian McEwan or Martin Ames think about anything, really. Mm. And it doesn't get you laid anymore.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And by searching thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran Has No Idea, you can access a special offer just for you. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Hello and welcome to Wine Times, the podcast brought to you in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club, with me, Makita Oliver.
And me, Will Lyons, the Sunday Times wine columnist and vice president of the Sunday Times Wine Club.
And this show, Will, is quite fantastically all about wine. Red, white, rosé, sparkling.
Italian, French, Australian, South African. and all the rest.
We'll be talking to actors, authors, and athletes about anything and everything, but mainly about how much they love wine.
So pull up a chair, pour yourself a glass of wine, and sit back for a series of fine wine, good company, and lively conversation.
Wine Times from the Sunday Times Wine Club, every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.